What if kittens played the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host, and today we're starting off with a question from a patron named Keelan. Now, I won't read Keelan's whole question to you because part of it's a surprise, but the first part is, what if Wardrobe went on a trip to Magic Land? Thank you, Keelan. Now, we've also got a question that was submitted as part of a Spotify review by Elijah, age 11. And Elijah asked, what if there was a mini ghost town on top of the Kathafi shop? You kids amaze me with the places you dream up. So, of course, Magic Land and this mini ghost town must be one and the same. Now, this is going to be a two-part story, wrapping up all the monster costume drama and answering four of your listener ideas. The next one is from a patron named Nayara, who writes, what if all of Kramazon's costumes were actually mind control costumes and Wardrobe and Krama Om were making people give them money for no reason? Thank you, Nayara, for sending this idea and many other wonderful ones. There is also an extra secret question from Ali S., age 8, who lives in Bellingham, Washington State. But we'll play that question for you after the story.
And now it's time for I, Zachamedes, the Goblin Egg Enchanter, to give a shout out to our patron, Abel. Abel writes, I just turned 10. I like Harry Potter, guilds and goblins, using my imagination, playing outside, drawing, reading, and video games.
That's an awesome list of likes.
So here's an egg-chanted egg for you, containing extra imagination, art supplies, books, and video games.
Okay, we're about to get into our story, and you don't have to listen to any of our past episodes in order to enjoy it. Because Baby Recap is here to give you a quick recap.
Everybody in What If World has turned into monsters. Or more accurately, they got tricked into buying costumes that gave them monster powers. And then a mighty wizard known as Abacus P. Grumbler accidentally cast a spell, causing them all to make unsafe and unkind choices. It seems anyone who bought a costume from Kramazon was affected by the spell. Fortunately, I, Baby Recap, only bought a magically squishy diaper that never needs changing.
Actually, Baby Recap, I can tell you why that diaper is squishy and also needs changing.
Unnecessary, Mr. Eric. I love living in this squishy, stinky diaper, and I am totally unaffected by the spell.
Okay, so I'm not sure Baby Recap is a reliable narrator right now.
I wonder what else I can fit inside this diaper. Perhaps some pasta.
I was saving that for later. Okay. I think the Kramazon diaper also affected Baby Recap. We'd better get to our story fast and see if we can finally fix things. Now let's find out, what if all Kramazon's costumes were actually mind control costumes and Wardrobe and Krama Om were making people give them money for no reason? What if there was a mini ghost town on top of the Kathafi shop? And what if Wardrobe went on a trip to Magic Land? In Nuwat City, there once stood a mighty castle. Well, it still stands there today, but it doesn't look so mighty anymore. You see, the Sortress used to be a place where people were taught to harness the most powerful magic in all of What If World. The magic of choice. People came from far and wide to learn and teach and share and grow together. Before long, there were too many ideas to fit in any one building, and so a city grew around the Sortress, and tall skyscrapers obscured the once mighty castle. As the Sortress became more a curiosity that most people didn't have time for in their busy lives, Krama Om swooped in. She was an ancient creature who looked kind of like a blind salamander, or an albino axolotl, or maybe both mixed together, and she rented out half of the run-down old Sortress, turning it into a Cramazon warehouse. And now...
"What's going on, Grandma Olm?" asked Wardrobe. "We haven't sold a package in over a week."
Wardrobe was getting on in years, but you couldn't tell by looking, because right now the costume designer was dressed as a shark. His magical disguise allowed him to swim through the air, which he did with all the anxiety of a shark who's missed a few meals.
"Relax,"
said Crema Olm, stretching out her long body on top of a cardboard box that was already starting to gather dust.
"This must be the first world you've conquered,
asked Crema, turning her long head with its frilly red fins toward the old costume designer.
So we took over the world?
Yes, isn't it wonderful?
The only problem is, outside of the Sortress, it's just a bunch of people with superpowers and monster powers, making a lot of bad choices.
That was the plan. You designed the costumes. I sold them. Then we trick Abacus into casting this spell, and voila.
Everyone wearing a costume just keeps buying up stuff. And we get richer and richer, but
Now we have all the money, just as you always wanted.
Right, that is what I always wanted.
Wardrobe stopped swimming around like a shark and stood back on the ground, popping the head off his shark costume as he walked over to his dresser.
"You mean Wardrobe?"
I just figured dresser would be less confusing.
"My name's Wardrobe, of course I have a wardrobe."
And Wardrobe hung up his shark costume in his wardrobe.
"Well, that's better."
He shuffled through the many costumes he'd made for himself over the years. Then his fingers settled for a moment on an old denim vest with a bunch of rhinestones making an oval shape on the back.
"Oh, quit sulking, Wardrobe. You have literally all the money in the world. You can do whatever you want."
"Whatever I want, huh?"
And taking the vest off its hanger, he stuck his arms through it and made his way toward the exit.
"Are you mad? You don't want to be around those people."
"You said the spell won't let them hurt us."
"It won't. But why would you want to spend time with such miserable creatures?"
"Because I'm miserable in here."
"Ah, yes. Enough is never enough, is it, Wardrobe?"
said Crema Olm. And with a shrug, she climbed down from her box and followed her partner in crime out the door. New What City was about how you'd expect it. People wearing superhero costumes still weren't making very heroic choices.
"I can fly through this building in a single bound."
And the people dressed as monsters weren't any better.
"I can melt fire hydrants with my mind."
"Whoa, I'm getting hungry. Why did I eat all the grocery stores?"
And while the costumed creatures wouldn't do anything to hurt Crema Olm or Wardrobe, their choices could still have dangerous consequences.
"I've always wanted to play catch with a train. I don't watch it, I'll be the wall."
Everyone was just being too destructive. So Wardrobe picked up Crema Olm and made for the edge of the city.
"Okay, so maybe we messed up this world a little, but with our money, we can just take the whirlpool to another universe."
"And take over that one, too."
"Or just live in comfort for the rest of
our..." "Now that was some really good magical water,"
said JF Kaiju. And as the colossal kitty sucked in all the magical water from every whirlpool in What If World,
burp,
flowed in to the massive creature's mouth.
"Dementialicious."
"Oh no, we've created a monster on purpose." And somehow that didn't work out.
They were at the edge of the city, staring at the last telephone pole separating them from the forest beyond.
Now, I may not be able to see, but Mr. Eric probably put that telephone pole there for a reason.
Huh? You think so? Oh!
When Wardrobe finally took in the telephone pole, he saw that there was a faded old flyer stapled to it. Printed on the flyer was the black and white photo of a Wild West town.
Magic Land,
the flyer read.
Let our magic bubble protect you from the outside world.
Sounds too good to be true,
said Grandma.
Yeah,
agreed Wardrobe, fingering a bit of frayed denim at the corner of his vest.
What choice do we have?
No better ones, it seems.
Then it's settled. Oh, look, there's a map on the back.
Wardrobe and Grandma followed the map, avoiding any costumed creature they came across, just in case, until they reached
the Kathafi shop.
Delightful. The business of my former protégé,
said Grandma Olm, for she had once met Kathunkle, the colossal squidopus who owned the Kathafi shop.
Looks like Magic Town is supposed to be on top of the shop, but I don't see it.
That's because you're looking with your eyes, dearie. I can feel it. A magic bubble, teetering on the edge, waiting for us.
Well, that doesn't sound ominous at all.
Ominous?
They heard in the distance.
I'll give you ominous!
It was Alabaster Zero, Waterworld's most famous, somewhat adequate detective.
You take that back, Mr. Eric. I'm often adequate!
And Alabaster Zero flexed his arms, but they weren't just his arms anymore.
That's right. I knew if I was ever gonna catch Wardrobe, I'd need the greatest superpower of them all. Really buff arms!
And the sleeves of his jean jacket ripped and shredded
as my even more shredded arms muscled their way out. That's right, I'm so buff, I can do my own narration.
Oh no, cried Wardrobe. We sold him the costume muscle arms.
So what? He can't attack us, remember?
Maybe not, but I've done a little detective work and realized I can just smash everything else until there's no place left for you to go.
I accept this magic bubble.
What magic bubble?
Why'd you tell him about the bubble?
Don't worry, Grandma Olm. I've got a plan.
And as the enraged Alabaster Zero ran toward them, Wardrobe took vats of old Kathafi out of the Kathafi shop and splashed them on the ground.
You think magical squidopus ink coffee can stop me? I'll show you. Oh, it's really gross. This seems like a bad choice.
I can't believe that worked.
Why am I still drinking
this? Well, it might not work for long, so let's get in the bubble.
Grandma Olm lithely scrambled up the wall of the Kathafi shop, and Wardrobe slipped and faltered as he followed.
Now I'm over-caffeinated,
said Alabaster, charging toward them again as Wardrobe slipped and grabbed for the only thing he could reach.
Get your hand off my tail,
said Grandma Olm, leaping for the bubble.
Hey, get off my leg,
said Wardrobe to Alabaster Zero. Then Grandma Olm touched the bubble, and she was sucked in, as was Wardrobe holding on to her tail, as was Alabaster Zero holding on to Wardrobe's foot.
Muscle arms!
They landed in an old west town, surrounded by a shimmering, almost transparent bubble. But now it appeared as massive as the sky above.
We may have shrunk down to fit inside this bubble, but my arms are still big enough to squeeze you. Silly. Ugh.
An Alabaster Zero passed out cold. His muscle arms deflating like a pair of popped balloons.
Did the muscle arms tire him out? Or is this a caffeine crash?
Probably both. Does it matter? Let's just get these arms off of him before he wakes up and squishes us silly.
All right,
said Grandma. And as they took the muscle arms off of Alabaster Zero, the sleeves of his dungaree jacket came off with them.
Well, no point in leaving him in a torn jacket. Might as well get that off, too.
What are you up to, Wardrobe?
Said Grandma Om. She couldn't see what Wardrobe was doing, but she could hear a kind of stretching, squishing, rustling sound as Wardrobe did something to his face and then something to Alabaster's face.
Don't worry about it, Grandma. You'll have plenty of time to figure it out,
said Wardrobe.
Alabaster?
Yes, Wardrobe and Grandma Orm. Welcome to my Wild West town.
And out from behind a stagecoach grew a colossal squidipus of unspeakable horror.
Oh, it's nothing I haven't seen before. Hello, Kathunkle.
Hi, Grandma, and welcome to Magic Land. Or should I say, your eternal prison?
Oh.
Who is right? Sorry to interrupt,
said Alabaster Zero, or at least someone who sounded like him.
But Githunkle, why are you gloating over Wardrobe? He's clearly unconscious.
What?
Oh, yes. Sorry, Alabaster. I didn't mean to also catch you and trap you here for all eternity. No problem. Common mistake. So if you'll just let me back into the real world...
Wait, Kathunkle, I think you may have made a mistake.
Oh, no, don't worry about it. They did me the favor of taking off my muscle arms. So now I'm just a cool guy in an awesome dungaree studded rhinestone vest with only slightly muscly arms. Yes, I can see that. You should do more squid ups,
said Kathunkle.
Don't know what squid ups are, but I'll get right on that as soon as you let me out of the bubble. And off you go.
And an arm of inky magic suddenly materialized inside the bubble, taking the man and the jean jacket vest out of Magic Land. And then, over the bubble, they saw an immense hand reach down and grab them.
Thanks for letting me free of your prison. Hope you all enjoy eternity there. But I'm not falling for that again,
said Wardrobe, who looked just like Alabaster Zero.
What is happening?
Kathunkle bent down over the unconscious body in the bubble that looked like Wardrobe, but...
What happened?
Said the person on the ground, sounding like Alabaster Zero, but still looking like Wardrobe.
Oh, don't tell me.
That's when Kathunkle pulled off the mask.
Yeah, that's Alabaster Zero in there with you. And as long as I keep this bubble in my pocket, you three will never get out.
Wardrobe, you don't have to do this.
But you said it yourself, Grandma. I can do whatever I want.
Wardrobe, why do you look like me but with a giant face?
I'm just bigger than you. You're shrunk down inside the bubble.
But wait. Keelan's question said that Magic Land trapped Wardrobe.
And it did trap me last time, but not this time.
I don't understand.
And I don't understand either. What happened to my muscle arms?
Oh, isn't it obvious? Wardrobe is Alabaster Zero from the future in disguise.
Ooh. I still don't get it.
I'm lost.
Oh, for crying out loud.
The end. Now that is what you call a cliffhanger ending, but don't worry. We'll spend more time in Magic Land and figure out what's going on between Alabaster Zero and Wardrobe next week. Thanks to Elijah, Keelan, Nayara, and Ollie S. for their questions. Keelan's full question read,
"What if Wardrobe went on a trip to Magicland, but he got trapped by K'Thunkel because Magicland was a trap set by K'Thunkel?" And yes, there's still a little mystery to unlock with that part. And now it's finally time to play Ollie's question. Now, there is some banging that goes along with this question, but Ollie's grown-up told me it was intentional and part of the question. So here we go.
Hi, my name is Ali, and what if Wardrobe was Alabaster Zero from the future? Thank you, I love your show, goodbye.
Oh, what a twist you gave us! I hope you all enjoyed your story, and thanks to everyone who submitted ideas. Folks at home, did you notice any unsafe choices in this episode? Or maybe some unkind ones? Talk to your grown-up, and let them know what you would have done differently. What helps you feel calm and really know what's going on before making your best decision? We're getting into the holiday season, and I wanted to take a moment to show my gratitude to some of our many reviewers out there who help people find our show and share their what-if ideas in the process. So thanks to Cage, Walter and Haas, Gunner's siblings, Darby, who asked to get a shout-out, for Sister Gwyneth, Ryan Griffin, Sophia T, Brody from California, who lives in Michigan, Phoebe, Pizza 123, Zoe, age 9, Wyatt, Liz, age 8, Ellie, age 12, Aubrey from East Texas, Kale, age 8, and Lucy, both on Spotify, who share questions there every week, Maxim, Stella, age 11, Scarlett, aka Amidala, Abby L, Genesis, Ruby, age 8, Hazel, age 11, sorry I said your name wrong the first time, Eleanor, Jansen, Yair P, Super Kirby, 64, Charlotte L, Paul and Chris, siblings Tevix and Junin, Rebecca, Edda, Josephine, Larald with an L, Hadassah, age 12, Emery, age 8, Fate, Claire, age 8, Michelle, Sayla, age 11, Maya and brother who listen every night, Ben, age 9, Madison, age 9, Emma, Athena, Evie, age 11, Kai, Ruby, age 12, Sapphire Beast, Jace, Elizabeth, Logan, age 10, Ian F, Rylan, Charlie, Carabee, and Aiden, just to name a few. And if you have ever left us a review somewhere, or even just told a friend about us, a huge thanks to you, too. You help our show keep going, and I am always grateful. I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, my producer, Miss Lynn, Craig Martinson for our theme song, and all you kids at home who know that every choice you make is magic. So use that power wisely. And until we meet again, keep wondering.
The International Children's Arts Network, ICANN, is made possible by the Herbert A. Templeton Foundation, the Oregon Cultural Trust, the Brookby Foundation, and the Oregon Community Foundation. ICANN, poetry, story time, and music for kids.